Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Supreme Court's decisions in the 21st century are influenced by prejudices inherited through the American education system. For nearly 175 years, going back to the Supreme Court decision in the early 19th century about the fact that indigenous peoples were not capable of sovereignty, property rights, trade, governance, were not capable. They are called wards or trustees of the state. Where did this prejudice come from? Terry, you don't seek origins. You, in your book, seek facts. And I like facts. Let's talk about the Algonquin and the hunting of the Algonquin. Did they believe in property rights? How did they deal with hunting grounds? What was their presumption?
Well, I use two words, incentives matter. And when people think of those two words, they can't help but think of property rights. And American Indians from coast to coast, top to bottom, understood that property rights were the fountain of incentives for people to manage resources, to make investments. So you take hunting territories, for example. If no one had any authority to control who hunted in those territories, then they would decimate the populations. And American Indians clearly had the technology to decimate wildlife populations. But rather, because tribes owned territories, meaning they were sovereign in those territories. Surely they fought over the boundaries. We know that tribes did have wars with one another. They had sovereignty over those boundaries. And then within those boundaries, individuals, small groups, clans, families had other kinds of rights. Switching to the opposite coast, the Pacific Northwest, streams were clearly privately owned by families and clans, and they fished appropriately. They husbanded the stocks. They let the big salmon go upstream to spawn because they would make more salmon and bigger salmon. They cleared beaches to create clam gardens, literally what the term implies. These were places where clams grew, and clams were delicious and nutritious. All this because the incentives were there through property rights. Property rights were as much a part of American Indian life as the teepee was on the plains or the wigwam was on the east coast.
I seize on the Mohicans because of James Fenimore Cooper. They had hereditary gardens along riverbeds. I don't remember that being part of Cooper's explication of his heroes. They were treated as wanderers, wandering hunters, nomads with no property.
Yes, farther in my part of the world, one of the people on one of the reservations in Montana said, "We knew where the berry bushes were. We didn't just wander aimlessly. We husbanded those berry bushes and took care of them so we could have more berries next year." There was this romantic view and carried on much into the 19th and 20th century, even the 20th centuries. But with Wild Bill Cody and his Wild West show, which featured American Indians with all their regalia, featured in Carl Bodmer, the Swiss artist who traveled to my part of the world in the 1830s, depicting the noble savage. And the noble savage has two words. Noble, that's the kind of, you know, they really are heroic in their image, but savage in the sense that they just wandered, that they fought, that they were that they didn't understand civilization. They were considered uncivilized, and I think part of this notion of not having property is what gave Europeans, not just the British, but the Spanish and the French, the notion that this territory didn't have people with property rights, and therefore it was okay to take take over their territories. You didn't have to pay them. You didn't have to negotiate. You could. It was just yours for the settlement. And these were not wild Indians. These were not savages. They were civilized in a property kind of context.
And they practiced globalization, such as it is in North America, with trade. I see, Terry, there's plenty of evidence that items specialization led to prosperity for certain parts of the country where they had items they could train. I especially like the idea that you owned your bow or you owned your arrows, and that it would be important to you to find the best of those of the makers of bows and arrows across the country. Is there evidence that there was a specialist anywhere, a bow making factory with particular woods, or did each tribe have its own understanding?
Well, first, I'd start by saying all the things that you've just described occurred without them having read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, where he told the British about the importance of specialization and trade, our ability and our heritage to truck barter and exchange. That's what American Indians did, and you're exactly right. The historical evidence from archaeological sites, especially with things like stones and pottery and shells, things that survived as opposed to wood that could deteriorate, showed that these things came from far away. Pipestone, Minnesota was the place where pipestone, the stone used to make the pipes that we associate with peace pipes, as we call them, came from one place, Pipestone, Minnesota. That meant that's where it was produced. That's where it originated, and it was traded, and the people who had that grew rich from it. The specialization, I'm an archer. I love to shoot my bow and arrow. I have carbon arrows and carbon fiber bow. And I always try to imagine, suppose I was going to go try and find a bow amongst American Indians. I would try to find somebody who knew how to make a very straight arrow. And they did that by taking a piece of wood that was strong and straight, but then running it back and forth through a notch in a stone to make it smooth and make it fly straight. That took incredible specialization, incredible investment in human capital to know how to do that. And over these stories abound. And if you look at a map that traces the trade routes that existed in North America, it is just a spider web of roads, of trails. And there again, those didn't just pop off the surface of the earth. Those were built, maintained, and used to truck, barter, and exchange to move goods from point A to point B as cheaply as possible. So these were civilized people in any kind of way we might try to define civilization.
Terry Anderson with Kathy Rattay, a new book about renewing indigenous economies, recommendations about what is to be done. But we're right now dealing with the apparent limited reading of members of the Supreme Court about the Native American indigenous population, not only of Oklahoma, but all across the country. When we come back, how did this happen? How did educated men in the 19th century treat the Native Americans as if they were less than adults? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $38.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.